Welcome back here in the huddle right here on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Crazy overnight, crazy afternoon. NFL trade deadline. Patriots trade Jimmy Garoppolo. We could table that conversation for a few minutes and remind everyone the World Series is going on, and a pretty darn good one also. It heads back to Los Angeles tonight, 3-2 in favor of the Houston Astros. A guy who's been covering it for Baseball America is our friend Kyle Glazer, and he joins us now on the phone lines. Kyle, how are you?
Doing all right. It was fun, but it was as exhausting covering those games as I'm sure it was for a lot of people to watch them.
Well, before we talk about how epic Game 5 was and what we think about Game 6, you're usually covering baseball. Today you got to play a little baseball. What happened there and how'd you do?
Did all right, yeah. We're out here in Durham, North Carolina, and there's every year the fine folks at Duke University have a media game, and I played a little bit, so I was chosen to represent Baseball America, and went out and played 3B, and just had a good time of it out there.
Now, really, sabermetrically, what was your ultimate zone rating? How did you look? What can we project you for in arbitration?
Well, the Duke baseball coach on Twitter afterwards said I was the MVP of the game, so I expect MVP pay. made a couple of plays at third, and I was 5-for-7 at the plate, but then again, it was BP being thrown from 30 feet out, so I don't know if my average and slug can really be taken too seriously there.
Hey, Kyle, so you were at the Duke media game today, so you won't be at Game 6, but you were at the games in Houston, especially Game 5. Take me inside what it was like being in the building.
You know, it was interesting. I actually felt like Houston, as a fan base, I was not overly I wasn't unimpressed, but I also wasn't very impressed with their overall energy levels, games 3 and 4. You know, they cheered at the appropriate times, but for the most part, there wasn't that constant buzz I felt in Chicago, in Los Angeles, in Boston. But once game 5, I mean, as those home runs really started flying out against Brandon Morrow, I thought the roof was going to come off. It was absolutely insane, and you could really sense beyond just the excitement of the moments that were happening, I felt like some of the nerves the Astros were feeling because, hey, it was a 2-2 series. They were down 4-0 with Kershaw on the mound. They fought back and went back down 7-4. I mean, there was a real sense of, okay, we might be going down 3-2 going back to L.A. And then when the Astros offense just came out and you saw Springer's massive home run, you saw a couple big hits, you saw everything. You know, when Correa's high fly ball that would not have been a home run in probably 30 other major league stadiums, but when that just snuck over, I mean, the stadium was silent. When that ball was in the air, everyone was holding their breath. You know, Peterson's moving back, you're not sure. And then when it fell over at that place, it was insane.
Kyle, what did you make of the Yuli Gurriel suspension, but it didn't happen during the World Series? And then, oh, by the way, he plays a really, 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 really big role in Game 5. What did you make of the ultimate ruling? What did you make of the incident? What did you make of how good he's been?
Look, he's a good player, and so the fact that he's been able to have an impact on this series should not surprise anyone, regardless of anything else that holds on. You know, I see a little bit of both. I mean, someone might criticize me for that. I do see that, look, what he did was unacceptable. There's no two ways about it. I do see, you know, the main thing behind, I think, the 5-game suspension is he loses salary. People need to realize that Major League players, they get a stipend for the World Series, they get bonuses, but their salary is not being paid out right now. So by serving it 5 games at the beginning of next season, he loses a whole heck of a lot more money than he would have if he was suspended for a World Series game. You also do have to take into account the right to appeal. Now, afterward, Major League Baseball announced they wouldn't appeal, but notice they made that announcement after the suspension was handed down. I think if he had been suspended for a game or two, you would have seen what they did with Chase Utley a few years ago, where they appealed, and so he was still able to play for the World Series. So I think when you get down to the realistic, you know, what would have happened here, I think this was the penalty that hits his pocketbook hardest, his wallet hardest, I should say, and also kind of prevented the, oh, well, he's been suspended, but again, if he was in the World Series, I think the players' union would have appealed, which would have allowed him to play anyway. This was the option that actually was going to see him sit the most games and hit his wallet hardest. So I do get the reasoning behind it there.
Kyle Glazer, Baseball America, with us on the huddle on 101.3 ESPN. I have been a staunch defender of Clayton Kershaw, and really, if you take out a couple of starts earlier in his career against the Cardinals, he's actually been pretty good in the playoffs, but he stubs his toe in a big way in Game 5. Now are we totally back on the narrative that he can't pitch in the playoffs?
I wouldn't say it's that he can't pitch in the playoffs, but look, I mean, it's a factual statement to say he has not pitched as well in the playoffs as he has in the regular season. Obviously, the sample sizes are much smaller, but this guy has a 2.36 career ERA, you know, in the regular season. The postseason, it's now 4.50. You know, when we talk about sample sizes, you know, it's 118 postseason innings now. It's not like it's 20-some innings, 23 innings. I mean, it's been 20 starts, 19 starts, I should say, 23 appearances. I mean, that's a good chunk of a sample size. And look, I think he can pitch in the postseason. To say he can't is silly, but it's also not wrong to say he has not been as effective. Now, part of that was early in his career. He was asked to start on short rest a lot. But you still look at, you know, look, his start against Arizona was not great. You know, 6 1/3, gave up 4 home runs. He was much better in the NLCS. He also had that great game one, but that was pretty big. I mean, for him to go out with a 4-0 lead, cough it up, and then even beyond that, when they gave him back another lead at 7-4, goes out and walks both Bregman and Springer in the top of the fifth, or bottom of the fifth, I should say. It was not his best. It was not a great look for him, and I do think it is fair to say he has not been as good. He has not been as locked down in the postseason, and you know, until the stats line up, you're not wrong to mention that.
Kyle, Rich Hill gets the ball for the Dodgers tonight. The Dodgers bullpen looks gassed. Morrow's gassed. Kenley Jansen looked exhausted by the end of that game the other night. Does Rich Hill get a longer leash than the 4 innings, 2 times around the order he got in game 2?
If he doesn't, the Dodgers management needs to look itself in the mirror. For those of us who listen to us at Baseball America, you know, I talked about this when they pulled him in game 2. It was a horrible, horrible mistake pulling him after 4 innings because this is a guy who is at his absolute strongest the third time through an order. If you look at all his splits, knowing that if you're making it a 5, you know, 5 innings for the bullpen now and not even having to take into account if extra innings happen as it did, you're still looking at, okay, well, now Darvish has to go deep or we're in trouble. Guess what? He didn't go deep. And especially Kershaw, for, you know, Alex Wood gave them a little bit of a respite, but even he was 5 2/3 innings. The bullpen, they still went through a couple guys to finish it. And you're right, these guys are gassed, and it really is going to be as simple as if Rich Hill is going, if he's pitching strong through 4 innings again and the Dodgers don't keep him in, if for lack of a better word, it'd be stupid. And nothing, no excuse for it. Now, if he goes out and gets shelled, you know, it's a different story, but that's part of the issue. And then truthfully, being around game 5 there at the end, you sensed it. The Dodgers felt like they threw everything at the Astros. You know, when game 2 happened, they gave up the lead. It was like, all right, it's disappointing, but we'll come back right at it. For it to happen again in game 5 where they had, you know, they were up 4-0. They were up 7-4. They had these leads, and every single time the Astros kept coming back and coming back and coming back. And when the Dodgers went out and put up their own fight and they still couldn't come out on top, there was definitely a sense of exhaustion in that locker room and a sense of, you know, throwing your hands up like, what else do we have to do? We're fighting back, we're getting leads, and yet at the end of the day, we're still losing these games.
Kyle Glazer, Baseball America. Kyle, we'll get you out of here on this. We'll switch to the Red Sox for a moment. Red Sox have their manager. It's Alex Cora. I like that move. This team has a lot of other things to address in the offseason. If you had to put an offseason priority list, what's number one for the Sox?
Adding power. I mean, this was an offense that actually did okay over the course of the season in terms of runs scored, but home runs, they're one of the bottom 10 in the league. You know, Mitch Moreland did not give you the production at first base. Hanley Ramirez did not give you the production at DH. And look, Xander Bogaerts and Jackie Bradley Jr. had, you know, subpar seasons. I think they'll probably bounce back, but they really need to go get a first baseman and a DH who can really, really, really just add that home run threat to their lineup. I mean, I think there's the way they're currently constructed, they're on the short end of the stick when it comes to power and the ability to change a game with one swing. And, you know, there are some options out there. They're going to be costly, whether you want to go Eric Hosmer at first or go a little cheaper and older and maybe get a guy like Lucas Duda, who isn't going to be as good of a player, but will still give you some pop. I mean, that's going to be it. Their top 2 free agent signings should be a first baseman and a DH who can really add some power to this lineup.
Kyle, Verlander's been dominant in elimination games. He's been really good this playoffs. What do you think happens tonight, game 6?
I have a rule. Always bet on Justin Verlander.
Okay. So you've got the Astros closing out the World Series tonight. Kyle Glazer, Baseball America, one of the best. We always appreciate your insight. We'll talk to you again soon.
Sounds good, guys.